Amen. Well, it is good to be in the Lord's house this evening. Amen. And I appreciate the day the Lord has given us. I know some of you, by the look on your face, you're real tired. Amen. But I want to thank you for the much labor of this precious people. I do. I feel real humbled about the way you have treated us like kings and priests. Amen. And probably one of the best hotel rooms I've ever stayed in my life. Amen. I really appreciate that. And it's God's people that done that. I really appreciate it. Appreciate the ladies and the men. I know there's some men that cooked. Amen. And I really appreciate the meal. It was wonderful. Amen. You couldn't find no better meal anywhere. Amen. It'd be hard to beat that. Amen. And I really appreciate it. Amen. Appreciate you. Amen. Praying for us. And we're going to try to look into a thought tonight that's on my heart. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 4. Excuse me. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to several different places tonight. Just hold your place there in Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to look at starting with verse number 26. And hold your place in Ephesians chapter number 6. We're going to read a few verses there in 1 Peter chapter 5. So just a couple of places I want to go, amen, to bring the messages on my heart tonight. Our Father, we do love you tonight, and we thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be here in the house of God. Thank you for what you've done this day, and Lord, how you spoke to your people, and Lord, how you moved, and we thank you, Lord. But Lord, we know tonight is a different service, so Lord, you have a different agenda. And God, we ask you tonight that you would move and touch. And Lord, touch me, thy servant, Lord. Touch my body. Touch my voice tonight. Fill me with your power and unction and liberty, Lord. There'll be no preaching, Lord, without you tonight. And Lord, help me tonight to bring this word of God that you laid upon my heart to help your precious people. And God, may your people respond to your word. And Lord, I pray you do a work in this place. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight, starting with verse number 26. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. No, you can't be angry. But you gotta take a place about how you control that anger. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I'm interested in this verse tonight. Well, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steals, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, starting with verse number 11 down through verse number 18, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, whereof you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Bible, if you turn with me down to 1 Peter chapter number 5, very familiar verse. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5 verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now, tonight I want to go back to, I know I read several verses there in our text tonight, but the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, it says in this verse, "Neither give place to the devil." Then it says also in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 12, it says in the latter part of that verse, it says, "Against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I'm interested in a word tonight. Well, the Bible says this word called place or places. And I want to preach on the subject tonight, some places the devil wants to take you. Some places the devil wants to take you. Now tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not glorifying the devil. I'm not trying to lift up the devil. But tonight we do have an adversary. Can I say tonight, our adversary is not flesh and blood. Our adversary is not one another. But there is a real devil in this world. The Bible says in the book of Job that he was walking up to and fro, up and down in this world. Can I say tonight, my friend, just to give you some things by the way of introduction. First of all, according to John 8:44, Jesus said that the devil was a liar. He's a liar, amen, and a murderer, Jesus said, from the beginning. Can I say tonight, my friend, in our text we read tonight in 1 Peter 5:8, that he's praying, not P-R-A-Y-I-N-G, but P-R-E-Y-I-N-G. He's praying upon the Christian. Can I say tonight, my friend, the devil can't take you to hell tonight. He knows that. He knows that you're complete in Christ. He knows that you're sealed until the day of redemption. But he's going to do everything he can to sink his claws into you, amen, to distract you along this way. Don't you notice tonight, the Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says here about our adversary, the devil. The Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, be sober. Amen. That means to be sober-minded. That means to be watchful. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can I say tonight, my friend, you know what the devil's doing? He's trying to set a trap. He's trying to catch you. Can I say, a few years ago, I watched a thing about lions. And you know what the lion does? When a lion sees a pack of antelope or a pack of whatever you want to call an animal tonight, he stalks that herd, and my friend, what he's seeking is a straggler. He's seeking a weak one. He's seeking one that is lagging behind. And my friend, when he finds that one that's the weakest, he's going to attack that one in his weakest point. Can I say tonight, my friend, we have an adversary tonight. And all that, he's preying upon the Christian. but he's fighting against the saints. Can I say to this tonight, my friend, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the Bible says here in verse 12 of Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a spiritual warfare, amen. Hey, can I say this tonight, my friend? We are, if you hadn't noticed it tonight, we are in a warfare, amen. And in this text tonight of Ephesians, chapter number 6, he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Can I say tonight, my friend, not only he's a liar, not only is he praying against the Christian and the saint, but he's his brother Tim brought out in the class tonight, he's a master deceiver. Can I say tonight, my friend, he's a master deceiver. The Bible tells us that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. He's a master deceiver. Can I say this? He's a great tempter. Can I say this tonight, my friend? Notice this tonight in Matthew chapter number 4. Hey, I'm just laying a little groundwork and I'm going somewhere where I'm, what I'm trying to bring out tonight. Amen. Matthew chapter number 4, verses 1 through 4. You think the devil cares who he attacks tonight? Hey, if the devil would attack the Son of God, who are you and I tonight? Amen. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? To be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after the hunger, and the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Notice what he said. But he answered and said, Jesus did, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Can I say tonight, my friend, that he attacked the Son of God. Now, the Bible tells us tonight, I won't turn there for the sake of time, but in James chapter number 4, the Bible says that if we want to get the devil on the run, the Bible says we are to resist him. Yeah. You know what? Sometimes we do in our life, all of us have done it. We let the devil talk to us. We let the devil get in our mind. Amen. We let the devil, amen, think that a lot of things are happening when they're not even happening. I'm going to give you this tonight as a little ammunition. Preacher, how can I resist the devil? No, we're no match for him in ourselves, but there are some weapons we have in this warfare. I just read to you, amen, some weapons. And tonight you got one of them in your lap. The Bible says that this is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know why we got the devil sitting on our shoulder? You know why we're talking to him and let him talk to us and we don't resist him? Because we don't pick up our weapon. Preacher, how are we going to make him flee? I tell you how Jesus made him flee. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Can I say this morning, tonight, the Bible says here, my friend, we're going to resist him with the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Can I say, my friend, not only we got to resist him with the Word of God, well, we got to resist him in prayer. The Bible says about Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for our saints. I then gave you two weapons right there, the Word of God and prayer. You know why you say, preacher? I know what you're saying, but it seems like it ain't working. You know, hey, no, let me tell you what, these weapons work. Right. You know why they're not working? Because we're not using them. Amen. I know I ain't trying to thump you on the head tonight. But I'm telling you, my friend, if we had, the Bible says that we may hide the Word of God in our heart, that we may not sin against God. I tell you, my friend, if we got our heart full of the Word of God, and we got our mind, and I tell you, I want to tell you something, one of the greatest battlefields in our Christian walk is in our mind tonight. It's in our mind. He attacks our mind. He attacks us with all kind of thoughts and says that, you know, these people don't care about you. They're against you when they're not.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Right. He'll put thoughts in your mind. But I tell you how you gotta, amen, defeat him with the Word of God. You gotta put the Word of God in your mind.
Amen.
I heard Brother Milford Biddle say this. He's dead in heaven tonight. Brother Milford Biddle, after I got saved, I was at Brother Larry Raines' camp meeting there in South Carolina. Brother Milford Biddle talked about his mind. At 59 and a half years old, he was pastoring a church. He said, I felt like I was losing my mind. The devil was attacking my mind. He said, how? Amen. I began to memorize the Word of God. How many of you have ever heard Brother Milford Biddle preach? Brother Milford Biddle could stand, I'm talking about not just verses, he could stand and quote chapters of the Word of God when he was preaching. I'm talking about chapters, and the power of God would just fall his. And he said, but I got that Word of God hit in my heart, and I got that Word of God in my mind. He said, when I began to have that Word of God in my heart and in my mind, it was very hard for the devil to shake me. And I say, we got to resist him by the word, of God. We got to resist him in prayer. We got to resist him standing in the strength of the Lord, not our own strength, but in God's strength. Now, I said all that to lay a little groundwork to get where I really want to get tonight. And I want to preach on seven places the devil wants to take you. Number one tonight, our first place is found in 2 Samuel. If you have an open Bible tonight, 2 Samuel chapter number 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 11, verses 1 through 5. And the Bible says, and it came to pass, after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But notice this verse tonight, at the latter part of this verse, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David rose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired unto the woman. Now I like this right here. And one said, the Bible don't name who that person is, but that person right there to me is a type of the Holy Ghost. And one said, is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and it came in unto her and lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into the house, and the woman conceived and sent and told David, I am with child. The first place the devil wants to take you tonight is to the rooftop of idleness. Can I say tonight, my friend, the devil wants to get you out of the battle. David, my friend, when there was a time when he should be going to battle, David kicked back and tarried still at Jerusalem and stayed when he should have been in battle. Can I say tonight, my friend? The devil wants to get you out of the battle. The devil wants to get you sidetracked. Do you get sidetracked and not focus in on God? Can I say, David in his time right here, when he should have been in battle, he went upon a roof, and the devil had a woman for him to look upon. And I won't spend a lot of time there. But can I say tonight, one place the devil wants to take you tonight is to the rooftop of idleness. Can I say Second of all tonight, in 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19, verses 1 through 4. And the Bible says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I may not make not thy life as one of the life of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came down and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Preacher, where's the next place the devil wants to take you? He wants to take you to the juniper tree of discouragement. Can I say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we all get discouraged in our life. Amen. Can I say discouragement is real? Can I say problems in our life, amen, that are real, can bring discouragement in our life? Can I say this tonight? After Elijah had this great victory in his life, a woman sent him letter down, Jezebel, Ahab's wife. And the Bible says that Elijah ran for his life, sat on a juniper tree, and said, God, in other words, I'm just paraphrasing. He said, God, go ahead and take my life. Just go ahead and kill me. I'm ready to get out of here. You ever felt like that? I can raise both my hands. I raise both my hands for you. Amen. You ever been discouraged? You ever been depressed? Now, I know some people, amen, think, well, depression ain't real. Oh, depression is much real. But let me say this about depression, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't want to get too far in this. But let me say this tonight. Yes, we can get discouraged. Yes, we can get defeated. But can I say this tonight, my friend? It's not God's will that we continue day after day after day, month after month, year after year in the defeated state. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't get me wrong tonight. I wouldn't get into a conversation, David, I overheard you say about something about a lady who lost a baby. That's real. Amen. That is very real. And women, there's no way I could touch that. You know what I found out as a preacher? I made a very big fool of myself as a young preacher. Helped preach in a funeral one time. And I thought I had all the answers, you know, when I went in there. And a woman asked me to help preach her husband's funeral. And I went over there and I said, ma'am, I put my foot in my mouth big time. I said, ma'am, I know exactly what you're going through. And she looked me dead in my eyes. She said, no, sir, I'm afraid you don't. Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks, because you know what? I didn't have a clue what she was going through, because I never had lost my spouse. I never know what it is to lose a child. But can I say tonight, my friend, that God, the God of all grace, still has grace for every need. He still has grace for every situation. He has grace, amen, that we have not even tapped into yet. You ever been defeated? You ever been discouraged? You know, I hear back here and about things, you know, about in life, Brother Bell. You're trying to get a house. And they'll say, okay, we're going to do this, but now you need another piece of paper. And we need another piece of paper. And we need another piece of paper. And if we're not careful, paper after paper, moment after moment, amen, discouragement after discouragement, amen, we'll get into one place where it'll get us with discouragement. Say, we'll throw up our hands and say, what is the use, amen? What is the use? But don't stay there. That's where the devil wants you to get. It's just like that motel today. You say, well, preacher, it's bad as you didn't have a room last night. No, it ain't. The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Hey, I was in the best company you could be in last night, being in the man of God's house. Felt right at home. Amen. But you know what? Who can tell? Even in a little hotel room, God may have either that lady, amen, or somebody he wants us to see this week. It could be in this meeting. How big is something? Well, months after I'm even, years after I'm even gone from here. Maybe y'all have a good connection with that place, and through them seeing the testimony of this church, somebody get born again. Let me tell you, Romans 8:28 is still in the Word of God. Amen. Hey, the Bible says He worketh all things together. He worketh. That means the good times, the bad times, the hard times. Amen. All those times, as God is using all that, He's working it all together for your glory, for His glory, for your good. He'll try to take you to the juniper tree of discouragement. Thirdly of all tonight, I'm just going to run through these. Amen. I tapped on this morning, but I'm going to tap on it again tonight. In the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. The devil wants to prepare for you for a fish of disobedience. Jonah ran from the will of God. Can I say tonight, I'm going to hit this again because God told me to hit it again. God, my friend, the devil don't want you to be in the will of God. The devil's going to use all kinds of distractions. He's going to use all kinds of things, amen, to get you out of the will of God. You know, he may be telling some of y'all, do you realize that you done, we done been to church, we done had Sunday school two times, here we are again tonight, you done cooked, amen, and this preacher is going to ask us to come all week again, every night this week. And I'm going to go ahead and set y'all up for this. The devil's fixing to tell some of you tomorrow, you know what, we was there all day yesterday, and we just going to be too tired. We just got to have some rest. Amen. You can look for it. All kind of distractions. The fish of disobedience. Can I say fourth in the night? Another place the devil wants to take you to is the lap of defeat. The book of Judges. Judges chapter number 16. How many has ever heard of a man called Samson? Judges chapter number 16, verse number 10. We have Samson here, and we have Delilah. We have the Philistines, and the Philistines are trying to find out where Samson's power lies, or what is the source of his power. Can I say this, that the Bible says in verse 5, and the lords of the Philistines came unto her, talking about Delilah, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may blind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait about in her chamber, and she said unto them, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken, which is touched with fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, where thou mightest be bound. He said, in a hurry, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then I shall be weak and bend another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes, bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And they were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them off his arms like a thread. Samson, Delilah said unto Samson, hereunto has mocked me and told me lies. See what's happening here? She's persistent in how she's on him time after time after time. Tell me where thy strength lies. And on and on and on. And she says here in verse 15, and she said to him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told where thy great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head. For I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come at once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came unto her and brought her money in their hand. Notice this, verse 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man and caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of sleep and said, I will go out as other times before. No, you won't. And shake thyself. And he was not. Notice this, that the Lord was departed from him. Can I say this place I'm talking about tonight, the devil wants to take you to, is to the lap of defeat. My friend, this woman Delilah here, he never should have messed with this woman. Amen. He was a Nazarite, conformed to her, and the vow, he was separated, amen, for God's use only. But my friend, Samson had a weakness. You know what that weakness was? Women. Are you listening tonight, my friend? We all have a weakness tonight. There's a spot in our life. If we're not careful and don't keep our guard up, my friend, the devil knows that weakness. What happened was, time after time, she talked to him and said, you don't love me. You don't love me. If you don't love me, cause you don't tell me where your strength lies. And finally, my friend, he told her where her strength lies. And he went over there and laid his head in her lap. And they shaved and set those locks off of his head. And he got up like any other time, like he thought, hey, I'm just gonna break these cords. But my friend, the Bible says the Lord had departed from him. That means the power of God was gone of his life. That means God had withdrawn his hand. When he laid his head in Delilah's lap. Can I say tonight, my friend, if you'll go on and look at the story, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time. The Bible says in verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with the fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. But I like verse 22. Amen. I'm glad the story don't stop there. I'm glad that God is the God of a second chance. The Bible says in verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Can I say this tonight? In Samson's death, he defeated more Philistines than he did, amen, when he was alive. But can I say this tonight, my friend? We better watch our testimony tonight. Your testimony means something. Amen. The Bible says that a good name is better than riches. Amen. Your testimony speaks volumes. If you lose your testimony, my friend, you're going to lose your influence with people. Now, I won't call no names tonight. But I've seen people in my life, people I had great confidence in, that were once great preachers and great men of faith, that they laid their head down in the lap of Delilah. And my friend, what they used to be is not anymore. Because they got drawn into a lie. They got drawn in that everything was going to be better. But it's not better. That'll knock the starch out of you. I'll just put it like this. In that time in my life when that happened to me, I had so much confidence in that person. It really rocked me. But you know what God showed me in that, Brother Bell? I believe we ought to honor men, and the Bible tells us to honor the men of God. But can I say, I am a man of God tonight, but I'm not nobody's God. And I'm afraid what's happening in a lot of our churches that we esteem men higher than we do God. You know what God showed me in my life? I had more confidence in men than I did in God. Can I say this tonight? God has never left me. God has never let me down. Amen. God made me a promise, and it's impossible for Him to lie. I'm just a man tonight. I may let you down. I don't intend to let you down. But can I say tonight, my friend, put your confidence in the One, amen, that'll never leave you nor forsake you. Not only we see the lap of defeat tonight, the fish of disobedience, the juniper tree of discouragement, and we see tonight, my friend, the rooftop of idleness. But I want to deal with this tonight. And I dealt with this a little bit this morning, but God, I tell you, when I got back to the hotel room tonight, you said, Brother Doug, you're repeating yourself today. And no, I'm just telling you what God told me to repeat. Yes, Numbers chapter number 20. Numbers chapter number 20. Moses, the man of God, leading this Israelite people here, probably says, and some writers say, more than 1.5 million Jews. Moses in his life, he heard the complaint of the children of God. He heard the complaint about, give us water, give us food. We heard the complaint, my friend, of people would say, I'd rather be in Egypt than be here. We've seen Moses when a lot of people stood up to him. Korah stood up to the man of God, but it wasn't too profitable. Amen. I encourage you not to do that. Amen. Can I say that Korah and 250 men said, hey, Moses, you take too much on yourself. Can I say, my friend, can I say this tonight? Just hit this rabbit and go. God don't have two preachers in a church or two pastors in a church. God has one. Amen. When God sends a preacher to your church, he's going to speak to that preacher. He's going to speak to that man of God. And the man of God is going to tell the people what God said. And it's the congregation's job to follow the man of God as he follows God. That's how it's supposed to work. But you know, in this nation tonight, there's a lot of preachers that are in the lap of defeat tonight because people didn't want a preacher. Oh yeah, they wanted a preacher when they said, you know, I've been there. You know, they think you're the best thing since peanut butter, amen. Brother, you know there's a honeymoon when you get married and there's a honeymoon when you get a church too, amen. And then when the honeymoon's over, you turn around and start looking around at one another and say, you know what? We got this man forever. we got this man. But can I say tonight, the best thing that God could ever do in your life is send you a preacher. Amen. God sent me a preacher when I was a drunkard down to a trailer park, and he took the old black bag book, amen, and showed me how to be saved. And I remember God the Holy Ghost told me in that drug rehab center, I want you to go down there and join up with that church, amen, that man of God. Can I say this tonight, my friend? When God, amen, I'm just running a little rabbit right here. When God the Holy Ghost puts you in a church, my friend, He linked your heart with that man of God and his family. Amen. Moses, here he is now. He's hearing again the complaint of the children of God. We need some water, Moses. Moses, you done brought us out here telling us that God's leading you to take us to the promised land. We're out here about to thirst to death. Why are we out here, Moses? The Bible says here, in verse number 6 of chapter 20 of Numbers, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. That's a good place. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock. That's very important. I want you to underline that. And speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. But I want you to notice what happened here. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Notice verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. But I'll tell you something, God had something to say about that. Verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And I want to say this tonight, my friend. In Numbers chapter number 20, another place the devil wants to take you to is to the rock of bitterness. Don't you notice, my friend, that Moses let these people provoke him. See, God had a commandment to Moses. He said, Moses, I want you to take that rod, and I want you to speak unto the rock. My friend, all those times of those people complaining, all those times of those people murmuring, all those times he heard, give us water, amen, give us flesh to eat, amen, Moses, you're trying to kill us. He let our lead get in his heart, and it brought up a root of bitterness. You know, people will provoke you. You know, people will hurt you intentionally. You said, Brother Doug, I don't believe that. You ain't been very around very long. I'll say, I just opened my heart to you tonight. I've been pastoring the church. And I knew it the morning I preached it. I knew it the morning God laid it on my heart. There were some people I knew that God sent them a message and they was not going to receive it. Hey, my friend. You say, Brother Doug, that looks like an easy job you're doing up there. Well, it ain't easy, amen. It ain't as easy as you think it is. And Brother Bell, I preached that message that morning, not only that morning, several times. There was a period of messages. And those people would be one way in the congregation. But if you ever had them people to say, Preacher, can we see you in your office? And the rest of the congregation wouldn't see that they was about that far from your face yelling and screaming at you, and how dare you preach that unto my family? And the next service, you got to go out there and look them same people in the eye. And knowing they hate your guts. And if you're not careful, and I have to admit, I have done it. I have preached in the flesh. I let people provoke me. It wasn't right. I had to get right with you. Preacher, you let me provoke you? I say I'm guilty. I did it. I let people get to me. And you know what, Brother Tim? I'm just opening my heart to you tonight. I let them people get to me, and I could feel that bitterness. Somebody could mention their name. I could just feel it boiling in there. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, Brother Pollard, I wasn't praying for him. In my mind, I was thinking about how I'm going to get these people back. Boy, you wicked, Brother Doug. You are too. You just don't want to admit it. Amen. Amen. Just take your halo off. Amen. Amen. Lay it on the seat. Amen. Amen. Not only preachers, my wife can tell you. I had a woman playing the piano. That woman was a two-horned devil. I'll just go ahead and tell you what she was. Brother Doug, you pastor some doozy churches. Hey, my friend. Welcome to the real world. Intentionally. That woman would act like she didn't know a song. She was doing it to grieve God in there. And then, I took her to her office, and I said, you ain't playing that piano no more. She said, well, who think you are, preacher? I said, I'm the pastor. And I'm saying, you are disrupting the service, and you're not playing that piano no more. And then she tried to provoke my wife. Now, you won't see a side of a preacher, and you look at one preacher, I love you or not. You do anything you want to do to me. Well, you start messing with my wife and start messing with my kids, you're going to see another side of them.
Right.
Amen. I've seen women in churches try to promote my wife. Let me say this tonight. My wife ain't the pastor when I'm pastoring a church. I'm the one pastoring, but what people try to do, they don't want to say it to you, so they say it to your wife. To your wife.
Right.
Brother Doug. I see some of y'all looking at me. Does this really go on in churches? The more than you won't shake a stick at, brother. If you're not careful, this happened to both of us. Both of us. My wife. She gets mad when she sees somebody try to attack me. That's just every woman. You're gonna stand up for your husband, amen. You know why a lot of preachers' kids is out of church tonight? Because they saw their daddy get attacked. They saw their mama get attacked. They saw people that said they loved them in the same church attack them day after day. And they're out of church tonight because they're saying, if this is church, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. A lot of preachers' wives are hurt tonight. I remember one time a man told me a story. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. This ain't something I read in a golden nugget. A preacher sat down and told me this. He said, Brother Doug, I was pastoring the church. And he said, these people hated me and my wife's guts. They hated my guts. And they said they wanted to take me and my wife out to eat and try to get this thing settled. He said, man, I was so excited about it. So we're going to sit down as adults. We're going to talk this thing out. We'll get this thing to settle. Well, they took him out, but on the way from the restaurant, the woman just started, she just broke in to the pastor and just started lambasting him, just telling him what she thought of him. And the preacher said, brother, I didn't know what to do. And my wife started crying. Oh, we're in this little car together. You know what they told the preacher? By that time, it was pouring down rain. They said, get out of my car. Get out. And y'all just walk. You left the man of God and his wife. And he's talking about, you say, Brother Doug, how can somebody do that? Somebody that's really full of the devil. But I'm saying that to say this tonight. Some of y'all think I'm joking, don't you? You say, Brother Doug, surely that don't go on across America. It goes on in the best of churches. If you're not careful, people will provoke you. Like I said before, I've had to go to those same people I had those bad thoughts about. And here's what God told me. You're not going any further until you take the upper hand and go and try to make it right. You say, Brother Doug, what if they don't accept that? That's on them. It's not on me. I've done what God told me to do. If your enemy hunger, feed him. If you see him thirst, give him something to drink. That's what, preacher? That you may heap coals of fire upon his head. You know what, people? You know what will defeat people more than you getting bitter at them? Kindness. Amen. Don't let the devil, amen, take you to the rock of bitterness. I got two more and I'm done tonight. Don't let the devil take you to a place of jealousy. Jealousy. First Samuel 18. First Samuel 18. Here in 1 Samuel 18, David had defeated that great giant Goliath. And the Bible says in verse 5 of 1 Samuel 18, and David went out thithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself, I want you to underline that tonight, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. But something happened here in verse 6. It came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with timbrels, with joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Notice verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have subscribed but thousands, and what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. The Bible says in verse 10, it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times. But notice this, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence. You know what happened here? Jealousy. David came back holding that head of that big old giant, amen, Goliath. And they begin to sing that Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul got jealous. You know, jealousy is bitterness and jealousy run hand in hand. You know, there's a big jealousy of in our churches today among preachers. They're jealous, my friend. Amen. Because man's got a bigger church, or he's got this, or got that. Hey, my friend, you know what? We all ought to be in hell tonight. We ought to all just thank God that God's letting us do something in His kingdom. This ain't a... The disciples had that problem. They said, Jesus, tell us who's the greatest among us. And Jesus said, the greatest ought to be your servant. You want to be great? Be a servant. You know what our problem is, especially among preachers? We're looking for that title. It's in our churches. Well, he let her play the piano, but he didn't let me play the piano. He called on her to sing or him to sing, but he didn't call on me to sing. We get jealousy in the house of God. Saul got so bad with it, he picked him up a javelin. And Brother Pollard, every time he saw David, he threw a javelin at him, trying to kill him. That verse says, I read to you, that David behaved himself wisely. They got there in a cave, and David had Saul. David had a knife in his hand, and David could have cut off his skirt, but he said, God forbid that I should touch the Lord's anointed. You ever let jealousy get in your life? Maybe you're going through a tough time. I've had it happen to me. Somebody going, are you going through a tough time, Brother Bell? And the family over here is getting the socks blessed off of them. And if you're not careful, you'll get jealous because God's blessing them, and you'll get mad at God and say, God, why aren't you blessing me? Why are you blessing them, but you ain't blessing me? Y'all looking at me crazy because you're saying, there ain't no world all this is happening in somebody's mind. Just y'all wish you could spend a day in my mind and you could find out, amen. Oh, wretched man that I am, amen, Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The greatest Christian outside the Lord Jesus Christ that walked in shoe leather, he had problems every day of his life. The things I would do, I don't do the things I should, but I do the things that I shouldn't do. So my brother said tonight, we got a warfare going on. Spirit, that's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. There is a spiritual warfare going on in the life of every believer. Don't let jealousy get in. You see somebody getting blessed, thank God, get over and get in it. Amen. Hug their neck, say, praise God. Last of all night, I'm done. I'll be honest with you. I was feeling kind of tired, but I feel pretty good right now. Amen. John 10:10. Jesus said, I am. John 10:10 says, the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his mission. That's what he come to do. Last of all, I want to say this to you. If you're a sinner in the house tonight, you say, preacher, that's the cream of the crop here tonight. I understand that. But I tell you, I don't know everybody's heart. I'm just doing what God told me to do. Sinner friend, if you're in this building tonight and you're lost, the devil has one goal in mind for you, to sink his dirty claws in there in your life and drag you down to the char pit of the damned. Amen. Can I say this tonight, my friend? We have an adversary tonight. And I'll close on this. There's some places along this life he wants to take you. Tonight, you know what he wants to do to the Sooner Rose Baptist Church? Amen. Not laughing. I'm just saying there's a little joke in there about that. I got lost coming over here tonight. Amen. I put the wrong thing in my GPS and I wound up at another church. Amen. But, no, it wasn't that. Amen. You know what the devil wants to see this church do tonight? He wouldn't like no other thing than everybody just lay down and quit. Get up on the rooftop of Island and say, you know what? Let's just coast on this thing all the way till we get to heaven. Let me tell you something about, ladies and gentlemen, God saved you for a purpose. A man sent me a thing on my Facebook. Oh, well, don't get fallout with Brother Tim. I ain't got no wickedness on there. Amen. God used it and hooked me back up with Brother Bell. And I really watch what I'm around. I don't let nobody on there unless I know you. Right. You try to come over with some kind of wickedness, I'm going to hit that thing called delete. And it's going to send you off. Amen. But you know what tonight, my friend? A man sent me a thing the other day. It says, you're not too old, whether you're 30, 60, 40, 50, or 90, for God to use your life.
Amen.
I got a mother-in-law tonight. She has dementia. And she said, she told me the other day, she said, I feel like I'm losing my mind. She said, I feel like I'm no good. I grabbed her by the hand. I said, she's talking about, I just want to die. I said, let me tell you something. Look at me. I said, you know when you're going to die? When God gets ready for you to leave this walk of life. I said, you know why you ain't left this walk of life yet? Because God ain't ready for you. I said, you know what? She got them kids and she's got them grandkids. And now that she's kind of getting more feeble, all of them start to come around. And she's prayed for the years, God save them. Pray for the years, God bring them to the house of God. I said, but you know what, Mel? I said, you laying here in this bed, and now God's bringing them around this bed and letting you look them in the eye. Amen. I said, God's still using your life. You may be here tonight and say, preacher, I'm 70, I'm 80. I just feel like I'm worthless. No, you're not. Hey, I don't even know some of y'all's name, but I got a blessing in there today, brother. There was ladies in that room in there today. Bless their heart. They got physical problems. I seen them in there walking around, cooking, waiting on people. That's a blessing. He said, preacher, what I got to do? Don't tarry still. Don't sit down. Keep cooking. Keep praying. Keep coming to the house of God. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, don't. You say, I can't go like I once did. You know why I want to go now? When I can, because there will come a day, Brother Paul, when I can't. There'll come a day. I know there will one day. I'm 64 now. Next month. Man, this is talking about time, Brother Bell. Time, brother. Flying by. I'll be 65. I got stuff in the mail. People calling me, wanting me to get Medicaid and all. Well, where did all these people come from? Amen. Right. I've never seen so much stuff in my life. I know I'm getting older. But you know what? I still want to go while I can. I don't want to be idle. I don't know when I'll leave this walk of life. Hey, I told my wife, a lot of people said, you going to drive 846 miles to go preach? I said, praise God, yes. Praise God, yes. You know why? I don't know, Brother Bell. This may be the last revival I ever get to preach in my life. How many of you preaching, Brother Doug? Not like I used to. There used to be a time when my phone would ring off the hook. But now, because you're still standing on what that Bible says, these people don't want that no more, brother. But I'm going to go while I can. I'm going to ride while I can. I told my wife, I said, you know how we're going to go out? Praise God. She told me the other night, she said, I had a dream we got killed coming back from Oklahoma. I said, what a way to go. Going for, hey, some y'all looking at me. Hey, what a way to go. Going for God, amen. Trying to do stuff for God. I'd rather do that and sit at the house and rush out, amen. Don't let the devil get you idle. He said, Brother Doug, I'm discouraged. There's another part of that story. That Elijah, thank God, God looked down under that juniper tree and said, Elijah, I got something for you, son. I got a little cake, a couple of cakes here and a cruise of water. And I want you to sit down on this tree and I want you to eat this cakes and drink this water. And the Bible said he went in the strength of that meat 40 days, amen, and that cruise of water and them cakes. Can I stay tonight? He wants you to try to get you to sit down with discouragement. He wants you to sit down with the disobedience. He wants you to get to the lap of defeat. He wants you to bring you to bitterness. Jealousy and sinner tonight, he wants to take you to hell. Can I say this tonight, ladies and gentlemen? We have an adversary. It's a devil. Not one another. But a devil. A real devil. He said, Brother Doug, you glorifying the devil? I'm not glorifying the devil. I'm just trying to make you aware of him. He's sly. He's cunning. He's a master deceiver. And he'll do anything he can. Amen. To try to get his claws in you. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for this precious people. Lord, what a tremendous day I feel like we had today, Lord, starting this meeting. Lord, I thank you for this precious people, Lord, that sit here and hear the word of exhortation. Lord, I pray you'd help me, Lord, this week, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Help me to not say nothing that would hurt nobody in here intentionally. Help me, God, to say only what you want me to say. Lord, I pray, God, that you would work in our midst. Maybe there's some people in this room tonight that feel defeated. They feel discouraged. Maybe the devil has beat them down and feel like there's no use to go on. But God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I pray you'd help your precious people tonight. Help us to be aware of our adversary. He's real. But Lord, Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices. We ask you, Lord, to have your way in the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.
appreciate the message tonight.